This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, welcome everyone. Bruchim Abam. This time for real, we want to welcome everyone to tonight's shir. And let's start by saying that Baruch Hashem, last week we made an appeal for our new building, and a lot of generous people out there came through with tremendous, overwhelming donations. Really, we don't even know where they came from, but hopefully there's more where that came from. And if anybody wants a chelek in our new binyan, Be'ezus Hashem, and in all the Torah and Tefillah that will emanate from it, then please contact us, and the opportunity is available. Okay, so we began with the Gemara that says in the end of Masechta Tainis, Mishenechnas Adar Marbin Besimcha. However, we pointed out that the Gemara doesn't just say, be happy in the month of Adar. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, Amar, Rav Yehuda, Breid, Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, Mishmei Derav, Kishem, Shemishenechnas Av, Mematin Besimcha. Just like when the month of Av comes in, we diminish joy. Kach Mishenechnas Adar, Marbin Besimcha. So too, when the month of Adar comes in, we increase joy. So we asked the obvious question, Mashmita Eitzel Har Sinai, what does the fact that we're sad during the month of Av have to do with our joy and happiness in the month of Adar? We have to be happy in Adar independently, inherently, because it's a joyous time and it's a happy time, regardless of the fact that Av is a sad month. If Av was a happy month, we would also be happy in Adar. What does the fact that just like we are sad in the month of Av, so too we are happy in the month of Adar? Okay, so interesting halacha brought in Shulchan Aruch that we mentioned is not really that observed, and that is, we know there's a concept to make a zecher l'chorben. So you build a house, you do over a home, then you leave an area right when you come in, ama al ama, unpainted. That's what you're supposed to do. It's brought in the halacha. It's not just a custom, it's actually a halacha. But there's another halacha, which I must say, I don't think I ever saw anybody do. And that is, when a person makes a suda, and the Mishnah Berurah says, even a sudas mitzvah, a bris or a chasana, you need to leave over one dish. There needs to be one dish that you don't serve. In other words, if a menu could be 10 different dishes, you can't serve all 10. You need to omit one of them. And the Mechaber continues, not only that, you need to have one setting that is empty that you don't serve anything to. And the Mishnah Berurah explains that it's all Zecher Lechorben. It's Zecher Lechorben. If you just omit one dish, nobody even knows that that dish was supposed to be served. So by having an empty setting, people say, oh, why is there an empty setting? Oh, that's right, because there's a dish that's not being served as a zecher l'chorben. Now, I don't think I ever saw, sitting at a table, there's an empty plate, and who is that for? It's zecher l'chorben. I never saw it, and I never met anybody who ever saw such a thing. And the bir halach is matmiya. You know, why don't we do this? We should really do this. We don't really have a good answer why we don't do this. But be it as it may, there is a day during the year that we're not required to make a zecher l'chorben. And what day is that? Comes Rav Yaakov Emden in the Sefer Maruk Tzia, and Rav Yaakov Emden writes in Siman Tuf Resh Tzadi Hey, you know what day we don't make a zecher l'chorben? Purim. Why not? Now listen to this reason. Kivan dechayiv lebesume bepuraya ad lo yada. If you need to drink so much on Purim that you don't know the difference between Ar Haman and Baruch Mordechai, then how could you make a zechel l'chorben? Since you're supposed to drink basically until you lose all das and you lose all seichel, then there's no requirement to make a zechel l'chorben on Purim. It's very difficult to understand. Just because you need to drink a lot, why would you be allowed to forget the Chorban Beis HaMikdash? I mean, what does one thing have to do with the other? You're always supposed to remember the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Why would you be allowed to forget about it on Purim? Why does Purim give you license to forget about Chorban Beis HaMikdash? And it's interesting, this comment of Rabbi Yaakov Emden is quoted in the Shari Tshuva on the page in Aruch Chaim, where he quotes Rabbi Yaakov Emden word for word, that a person is not required to make a zecher l'chorben at their sudas Purim. Why? Because a person is obligated to drink till they don't know the difference between Ar Haman and Baruch Mordechai. But still, like, what does one halacha have to do with the other? Because you're not supposed to know the difference between Ar Haman and Baruch Mordechai, therefore, you're supposed to forget the Chorben Beis HaMikdash? It seems rather random. Let's talk about the obligation in general. The Gemara says in very black and white terms, person is obligated to drink on Purim till they don't know the difference between the good guy and the bad guy. What's the meaning of this mitzvah? It's got to be the most peculiar mitzvah in the Torah. I mean, the whole Judaism is based on zehirus, carefulness, discipline, watching what you say, think, look at, never letting off, you know, you can never be off guard. And Purim, basically, you take your most precious commodity, which is your das and your seichel, and you're supposed to give it up. And then what? Then a person's a behemoth. If they don't know the difference between Ar Haman and Baruch Mordechai, what's the meaning of this? So I was in Passaic last Matzah Shabbos. I spoke in Passaic at Amalava Malka. And somebody came over to me, and he said, you got to hear this Yosef Lekach. And I don't remember the individual's name, so I would like to give you credit, but I don't remember your name. But Hashem should bless you. And he told me, incredible Yosef Lekach. Who's the Yosef Lekach? Yosef Lekach was written by Rebbe Lezer Ashkenazi. Rebbe Lezer Ashkenazi was born in Turkey in 1513. And interesting, he was a Rav in Egypt from 1538 to 1561, which is an interesting place to get a job in the Rabbanus in the 16th century, to be a rabbi in Mitzrayim. He knew 12 languages, and based on certain accounts that people write about him, people write that they never met such a intelligent person in their life. From Egypt, he went to Cyprus. From Cyprus, he went to Italy. In Italy, he met Shik. Shik is Reb Shmuel Yehuda Katzen Ellenbogen. And he got into some type of disagreement with Reb Shmuel Yehuda Katzen Ellenbogen. He then went to Prague. He went back to Italy. In 1578, he went to Poland. He became the Rav in Pozna. So this Rav, he's rabbi in Egypt, in Italy, in Prague, and in Pozna. You know, usually a Rav in Poland is not a Rav in Italy. It's a different art, you know. It's a completely different game to be a rabbi in Poland and Italy. That's like saying a rabbi in the five towns and in Manra, you know. You find me the guy who was able to do both of those, you know. But, and finally, 1584, he retires. He goes to Krakow as a private citizen, and he's nifter in Krakow in 1585, and that's where he's buried. His most important commentary that he wrote is a Sefer on Chumash called Maaseh Hashem. And in the Maaseh Hashem is his Haggadah. Probably his most famous work is the Haggadah that he wrote on Pesach, which is called Haggadah Maaseh Hashem. So he says an incredible thing. He says, let's go back in time. Let's go back in the immediate aftermath of the Purim story. You have to understand, the Jewish people were reeling, right? They were 70 years from Galus Yerushalayim, 70 years from Churban Beis HaMikdash. These are people who saw the Beis HaMikdash burn down. They were at Achashverosh Suda. Achashverosh was celebrating the fact that the Beis HaMikdash will never be rebuilt. These are people who saw Leviim bite off their thumbs when they were given the option to sing for Nebuchadnezzar. These are people who lived with Churban, who were traumatized, who were demoralized at the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And now Mordechai comes along and says, you know what? Let's be happy Haman didn't wipe us out. Be happy Haman didn't wipe us out. The Beis Chayenu, the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. You can't be, there's nothing to be happy about. How could you rejoice? They were not able to celebrate Purim until Chazal made a takana that basically for that day they need to do the following. Completely forget the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So how is such a thing possible? Imagine you tell a person, oh, you have to be happy today, so forget your father, forget your mother. How could you forget such a thing? So therefore Chazal instituted, in order for them to enjoy the miracle and the Yeshua of Hashem, to drink so much, and the mitzvah was drink ad delo yada churban beis hamikdash. So why don't Chazal say chayev adam l'sume ad deshachach churban beis hamikdash? It's not nice to say it like that. What are you going to say? Drink so much until you forget the beis hamikdash? You can't write those words. So they wrote it in a more sanitized way. They wrote a drink so much, and if you don't know Ben Arham Baruch Mordechai, you for sure will forget the Beis HaMikdash. And that was the Kavan of Chazal. And therefore, even today, when we don't think about the Beis HaMikdash with the Yayin or without the Yayin, the original Takana is, in effect, that we drink so much until we sort of lose our memory, and we also forget about the Beis HaMikdash. So perhaps, based on this Yosef Lekach, where he's telling us that on Purim, in order to appreciate the salvation, we need to drink so much, primarily it's not to forget Mordechai and Haman, it's to forget the Beis HaMikdash, maybe now we have a very beautiful reading of the Gemara. Just like in the month of Av, we need to be sad. Why? Because of Churban Beis HaMikdash. In the month of Adar, we need to rejoice. Why? Because we forget about the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Meaning it's like an exact opposite. It's a kashem. Just like in the month of Av, we're saddened, we're depressed, we're demoralized because of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The month of Adar, we are besimcha because it's the one month a year that we're allowed to, for a second, you know, focus on the salvation of Hashem and forget about the sorrow of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Maybe that is the meaning of kashem shemishenechnas Av, mematin besimcha, kach mishenechnas Adar, marbin besimcha. That's level one. Level two. We're going to have three levels tonight. Level two is even more, is simpler. What happened in the aftermath of Purim? It's interesting. Chazal say that Mordechai got up one day and Mordechai said, that's it, I'm going to mint coins. And he minted a coin with his picture on it and Esther's picture on it. What's the guy minting coins for? What does he need a coin? Imagine when Mashiach comes, Rav Chaim Knievsky say, by the way, oh, I've been waiting for, Rav Chaim's going to mint coins with his picture on it. He ain't doing that, I guarantee you. Mashiach comes, he'll publish some more Svaram. Whoa, minting coins. What's Mordechai minting coins? So it's a very interesting halacha. The Rambam says that three mitzvahs were netzaveh when we enter Eretz Yisrael. To make a melech, to destroy Amalek, and to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Which means that the mitzvah of destroying Amalek was only given to a king. And the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash is only given to a melech. Mordechai wanted to mint coins to sort of procure and to establish himself as a melech, to be entitled to wipe out Amalek and to ultimately rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash, which they did. They then went up to Yerushalayim and they rebuilt the second Beis HaMikdash. Basically, the aftermath of the Purim story was the rebuilding of the second Beis HaMikdash. After Achashverosh, Daryavesh funded, the son of Esther and Achashverosh, funded the construction of the second Beis HaMikdash. So the salvation from Haman, we know, the beginning of the Megillah, the first Rashi in the Megillah says, Vahibi Me'a Chashverosh, Rashi gives us the backdrop. Rashi says, previously, Koresh had given permission for the Jews to start constructing the second Beis HaMikdash. And the sons of Haman slandered it and put a halt to it. So now that Haman is dead and the sons are dead, they could rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash. So really, Rabbi Isai, which month of the year is designated to start embarking upon rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash? The month of Adar. So he said, what are you talking about? That's the second Beis HaMikdash. Right now, what do we care about the second Beis HaMikdash? Second Beis HaMikdash is long gone. All we care about is the third Beis HaMikdash. So I'm going to tell you an interesting thing. Look in the Navi Yechezkel. The Navi Yechezkel says that Amir Tzah Hashem, the third Beis HaMikdash, will be Nischanech, will be inaugurated, Chaf Gimel Adar. In fact, the Malbum says in Sefer Ezra, take a look at number 8, that during the times of the Bayis Sheni, they completed the second Beis HaMikdash on the third day of the month of Adar, V'sheitzi Baisa Dina Ad Yom Tzlosa Yirach Adar, Dihi Shnas Sheis L'Malchus Daryavesh Malka, that they completed on the third day of Adar, and the Pasuk is, they rejoiced in the Chanukah of the second Beis HaMikdash. Says the Malbum. How long did the inauguration last? We need to know, because Mirza Hashem, when the building goes up, right after the summer, when more donations come in, then how long are we going to make a Chanukah Sabayis? I don't know yet. But they made it for 21 days. They made it for 21 days. Some people said we had so many speeches, the last time we made an event, it seemed like 21 days. Don't worry, just send them donations and if you need it to be short, we'll make it shorter this time. Doesn't, whatever you want. Okay? They made it 21 days. Why 21 days? From the third day of Adar, and they knew from the Navi Yecheskel that the third Beis HaMikdash is going to be inaugurated on the 23rd. So they figured if we inaugurate now the second Beis HaMikdash, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, seventh, and we take it till day 23, maybe Hashem will say, all right, I'll give you the third Beis HaMikdash already. So what we see from here is they were hoping during that month of Adar, when they inaugurated the second Beis HaMikdash, they were hoping for the third Beis HaMikdash to come immediately. They were not Zoicha. But we still have a tradition. The third Beis HaMikdash will be inaugurated on the 23rd day of Adar. So Rabbeisai, what month of the year is designated for the rebuilding? Sai of the second Beis HaMikdash. Sai of the third Beis HaMikdash. The month of Adar. So maybe we could say another Pshat in the Gemara. Amar of Yehuda, Braid, Rav Shmuel, Bar Shilas, Mishmei, Derav. Just like in the month of Av, we're Mamayit and Simcha, because that's the month of the destruction of the first and the second Beis HaMikdash, so too the month of Adar. We're Marbeb and Simcha, Kishem. Why? Because this is the month of the rebuilding of the second Beis HaMikdash. It's rebuilding of, Meretz Hashem, the third Beis HaMikdash. So Adar is the exact parallel to the month of Av. Av and Adar are polar opposites. Whatever we're sad about in Av, we're happy about in the month of Adar. Rabbi says, so that's the second pshat in this Gemara. Pshat number one is, just like we're sad in the month of Av over the Chorban, in the month of Adar, we're happy because we forget about the Chorban. We could put it out of our minds. And then we said another pshat, the month of Adar, we're happy because it's the month dedicated to rebuilding the second Beis HaMikdash. And now we're going to climb the heavens. You ready? And we're going to say an incredible pshat. Why the month of Adar's happiness is an exact opposite of the sadness of the month of Av. Okay? Marv Rabbi, so here we go. Why did we have to rebuild the second?
Why will we have to rebuild the second?
No, we did already. But unfortunately it was destroyed.
Right. So we won't have to rebuild.
No, we won't have to rebuild the second.
It'll be just the third.
Correct, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so the Medrash says, it's a Medrash Shachar Tov, that in the future all the Yamim Tovim will be batal, except for Purim. Okay, there are many meanings of that. It doesn't really mean that we're not going to celebrate the Yamim Tovim L'Asa Lavai. It may mean the significance of the other Yamim Tovim will be diminished, except for Purim. All the Yamim Tovim will be batal, but Purim will never be batal. Shenemar, Vimeha Purim Ha'ela, La Yavru, Mitoich HaYehudim, Vizichram La Yosef Mizaram. Why? What's so special about Purim that it will last until the end of time? Why will Purim be the only Yomtif that will not be Batal? Okay, now let's talk about one of the main characters of the Purim story. I'm not going to tell you how, you know, the king, who is a little silly, a little foolish, he's married to Vashti, Haman tries to, right? You know, who am I talking about? Achash, amazing, very good. Why is he called Achashverosh? So the Gemara says in Masechet Megillah, Daf Yud Aleph, Gemara 11, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Kol Shezoichroi Omar Och L'Roishai. Anyone who remembers this guy, he says Och Invei, you know, woe to my head. Och L'Roishai, Achash Veroish, Och Roish, woe to my head. The question is, what does the head got to do with it? His name should be Ach. Whoa! There's an afkamino, woe to my head, woe to my nose, woe to my toes. What's the head guy? Just call him Ach. That'd be good now. Ach. Ach. Why Ach L'Roishai? Why are you giving him enough, so much credit? Somebody said Ach L'Kol Gufi. Why L'Roishai? What's the inyan of the head? Asks Rav Pinchas Friedman in the Sefer, Shvilei Pinchas. Another interesting question here. The whole Purim story revolves around one thing, and that is everybody is trying to hang somebody. Like the whole story is about hanging people. So Haman doesn't know what to do with Mordechai. So Zeresh says, listen up, husband, listen up. I have such a great idea. You're going to make a gallows 100 feet tall, according to Chazon Ish, and you're going to hang him on the gallows. Oh, Haman says, that's an amazing idea. I knew you. It's a good thing I married you. Who could have thought of such an incredible idea? Why do they need to hang Mordechai? Why doesn't she just say, take your sword and kill him? I mean, it's not normally when you wanted to kill somebody back in the day, so poison them, right? A big son and Sarish didn't plot to What's the inyan? They have to hang Mordechai. And then Charvoina said, oh, look at the tree. Hang Mordechai on the, hang Haman on the tree. Just kill him. What do you have to, you know how hard it is to get him all the way up there? Just kill him on the spot. You know, I'm sure there were people standing around with swords. Just, you know. And Esther said, now here's the clincher. They already killed the 10 sons of Haman. So Esther says, Achashverosh, do me a favor. Tomorrow, I would like to hang the 10 sons of Haman. Esther, they're dead. You don't need to hang dead people. You want to hang a live person. Haman wants to hang Mordechai. Mordechai wants to hang Haman. But the 10 sons of Haman, they're dead already. What do you need to hang them? Why do you have to hang dead people? That was last year's share. I don't repeat over here, okay? So, the interesting medrash. The medrash says that Haman was making these raffles, and he was going through the months, and the goyro fell out on the month of Adar, and Haman was very happy that it fell out in the month of Adar. Why? Because mazal Adar, dagim. The mazal of Adar is fish. So Haman said, oh, fish, great. Fish swallow other fish. So I'm going to swallow Mordechai. So Hashem said, oh, you fool. But maybe sometimes the other fish swallows that fish. So Mordechai is going to swallow you. I mean, Haman is a complete fool. What is it about the fish? Then Haman said, oh, fish. Oh, now I got him because of fish. And if it would have fallen on a scale, so why didn't Haman say, oh, he's going to be on the lower scale, and I'm going to be on the higher scale, I'm going to knock him off. Or a scorpion, I'm going to bite him like a scorpion. I mean, you could take any mazel and darshan it to your advantage. Honestly, if I would have given you all the mazalos, and you had to pick one which you think you could really get your enemy, I don't know that fish is the scariest mazel. Ooh, fish. If you're like a villain, I'm not sure that fish is the most empowering mazel. What about the crab, the lion, the bucket? I don't know. What is it about fish? Fish does not sound too scary to me. So it's interesting. In the Sefer HaToidah, Aurelio Kitov, he points out, you know, for Klal Yisrael, fish is a very good omen. First of all, in the month of Adar, the fish begin to proliferate. It's a month of mazel because fish are above and beyond Ayin Hara. That's why the month of, by the way, it's interesting, every month corresponds to a different Shevet. So what's the Shevet of Adar? Yosef. That's why Adar is the only month that could be double, because Yosef had Menashe and Ephraim. Right? Menashe and Ephraim. So, and for Klal Yisrael, Dagim is a very good simen. What nekuda did Haman see in the fish that he felt, oh, now I'm empowered to completely destroy Klal Yisrael? Okay, Marv Rabbeisai, here we go. We have an amazing encounter between Yosef HaTzadik and Binyamin. And the Pasuk says, look at number 16, Vayipol al Savre Binyamin Achiv Vayevk. Yosef fell on the necks of Binyamin, his brother, and he cried. Ubinyamin bacha al savarav. Binyamin fell on his neck. So it's an interesting thing. One thing that a person cannot have two of, you can't have two necks. I never met anyone with two necks. Could be you saw someone with two necks. I don't think it's really that common. I did read in the news that that they found in Eretz Yisrael a chicken with three legs yesterday, and the Eid HaRedis, they took it off the conveyor belt. They did not allow it to go through. Okay, but that didn't say they found the chicken with two necks. What's the pshat? All of a sudden, Yosef has, Binyamin has two necks? What in the world does that mean? He fell on the necks of Binyamin, and Binyamin fell on his neck. Zokt Rashi, you know what it means? Yosef fell on his necks and cried. What's he crying over? The two batei mikdashim, which were in the chelek of Binyamin. Binyamin is the Yedid Hashem. Two batei mikdashim that were destroyed. Yosef sees Binyamin, and he cries over two batei mikdashim. Binyamin sees Yosef. He cries over Mishkan Shiloi, which was in the chelek of Yosef. Marv Rabbeisai, so let's get something straight. Which word in this pasuk refers to the Beis HaMikdash? Right? Chazal are saying, Yosef fell on his necks and he cried. What did he cry over? The Beis HaMikdash. Which word in this pasuk means Beis HaMikdash? Necks? And when Binyamin cried on over Mishkan Shiloh, where is Mishkan Shiloh alluded to? The word neck. Neck is being used as a description for Beis HaMikdash. Marver Aboisai, everywhere in Tanakh, when the word neck is used, it refers to the Beis HaMikdash. Look in Shir HaShirim, look at number 18. Kimigdal David etzavarech. Like the Tower of David is your neck. That's a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. The Mikdash is like the Tower of David. What is Beis HaMikdash being referred to as? The neck. Tzavarech Kimigdal HaShein, your neck. The Beis HaMikdash is like an ivory tower. What part of the body is the Torah using to refer to the Beis HaMikdash? The neck. Why? Why of all the parts of the body is the neck used to describe the Beis HaMikdash? Comes the Chassam Sofer, and this is a major theme in the writings of the Chassam Sofer, and this is also an idea that the Shem Yishmuel in Parshas Vayigash brings in two places in the name of his father, the Avnei Nezer, the Sochet Shavar. And he says, what is the function of a neck? What does a neck do? What do you need a neck for? What a neck is merely a connector, a conduit. What does the neck connect? The roish to the guf. The roish to the guf. The neck doesn't have any inherent ability. There are no organs in the neck. The neck just has the veins and the aorta, and it connects the head through the main blood vessels of the body, the head to the lave, the head to the body. Meaning, all the messages that the head, whatever the head thinks, whatever the head would like the body to do, is sent through the nervous system of the head to the body, and the vitality of the heart goes up to the brain through the neck. The neck is what is called the conduit, the shevil, the pathway, the byway from the head to the guf. It connects the roish to the guf. Moreover, Aboisai, who is our roish? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like the pasuk says, Vayavar Malkam Lefneim Vashem Beroisham. God is the Roish. And who is the Guf? Knesses Yisrael. And what is the Tzavar? What connects the head to the body? The Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is therefore the conduit where all tefillah goes up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Roish, through the Beis HaMikdash. All Karbanos are sent through via the Beis HaMikdash. All Kayach that we infuse Hashem with, Tenu Oizei Lekim, goes up through the conduit of the Beis HaMikdash, and all Tfilos are Oileh through the Shara Shamayim of the Beis HaMikdash, and all Shefa comes down from Shamayim through the conduit of the Beis HaMikdash. Chazal say that if the Goyim knew and appreciated how important the Beis HaMikdash was to the world, they never would have destroyed it. So what then is the Beis HaMikdash of the world? The Beis HaMikdash is the neck of the world. Therefore, if it says that Yosef cried over the necks of Binyamin, he must have been crying over the Batei Mikdashim of Binyamin. And if Binyamin cried on Yosef's neck, he must be crying over the Mishkan of Yosef. Ah! And just like, now here's the point. Just like we are connected to God through a medium, through a conduit, namely the Beis HaMikdash. By the way, maybe next year we'll explain, well, a neck has two connections, the windpipe and the food pipe. So to the Beis HaMikdash has a shulchan and a menorah. That's the deeper level. We're not doing that this year. But the Beis HaMikdash in general is the neck of the world. So too the nations of the world also need a neck. What do they need a neck for? They also have a roish. Persia has its ministering angel. Greece has its ministering angel. Babylon has its ministering angel. The nation is connected to its ministering angel via some type of conduit. So for example, in Daniel's vision, when he envisioned the Babylonian Empire, what animal did he see? Symbolic of the Babylonian Empire? The lion. The lion. The lion is Babel. And when they saw the Persian Empire, what animal represented the Persian Empire? The bear. And when they saw the Greek Empire, the leopard. But the fourth and final empire, the Malchus HaRasha, the endless Golos, which is Rome, which is Italy, which is Esav, is compared to what animal? the pig. Like the pasuk says, Yichar semena chazir miyar, it says in Tehillim. It's on your sheet somewhere. Esav is like a pig. Number 25. You know what's unique about a pig? It's the only animal that has no neck, where the head and the body are just attached one to the other. You know why that is? Because Esav is not a separate entity from the angel of death, from the Samach Mem. Esav and the Samach Mem are hook, line, and sink. They're just fused together with no neck. Esav is on a higher madrig of Tumah than we are of Kedusha. We need to come onto a Beis HaMikdash to connect us to God. Esav does not need a go-between. He does not need a tzavar to connect him to the Samach Mem. However, when the Jewish people are really strong, we're able to put shackles between the Samach Mem and Esav and separate between the Samach Mem and Esav. And it's almost as if, the Chassam Sofer writes in Parashas Toldos, the pig grows a neck. And then we could keep it at bay. I thought perhaps to say, there's a very interesting Aruch Chaim HaKadosh who says that La'asid Lavoi, the pig will return and become kosher. And many ask, what do you mean it doesn't chew its cud? Maybe the pshat is, of course it doesn't chew its cud, because it doesn't have a neck. But maybe La'asid Lavoi, when we like shackle Esav, and as the Chassam Sofer says, when we do, he reads this into the pasuk, V'haya kasher tarid, when Esav has cause to be angry at us, Ufarakta ulai, who cast away our yoke, me'al tzavarecha, from on his neck, and he'll be able to connect the head of the Samach Mem directly to him, but La'asid Lavoi will put the shackles back on, and the chazir will sort of grow a neck, and maybe then it will chew its cud, and that's why it'll be kosher. I don't know, just a conjecture. But be it as it may, Esav is like the chazir, especially when Esav is going in full force, when everything is running, when Esav's running on all cylinders, he's a full-fledged chazir. The Samach Mem and the Guf are fused together. But when Klal Yisrael are strong and the Beis HaMikdash is built, his power as a chazir is limited. So Haman looks into his astrological signs and he says, what month of the year am I so connected to the Samach Mem that there's nothing in between us? There's one creature in the water that not only is it a head and a body fused together, it's like you can't even identify one from the other. The fish! Mazal Adar Dogim! Esav said, this is me and the Samach Mem. It's like a head and a body and a neck. And where's the head? Where's the body? At least in a pig, the head is here, the goof is there. Show me the head of a fish. Show me the body of a fish. Show me, it's like all one, you know? It's a roish, it's a goof. Which one is it? Haman thought that Mazal Adar Dogim symbolized the complete downfall of the Jewish people and his complete fusion and one entity with the angel of death. And that's how he's going to destroy the Jewish people. Marv Rabbi say Haman made a big mistake. And what was that mistake? Says the Chassam Sofer, when we say that the Beis HaMikdash is the neck of the world, we'd rather it not be. We'd rather not need it. We would rather what Esav has with the Samach Mem, we have with God. Like the pasuk says, V'nasati mishkani b'soichachem. I'm going to dwell on you, not through a tzavar, not through an intermediary, not through a conduit. The ultimate goal of La'asid Lavoi is that Hashem should be with us as one entity without the need for a Beis HaMikdash. So then why will we need a Beis HaMikdash La'asid Lavoi? Says the Chassam Sofer. Now this is something Chassam Sofer wrote in a rare sefer. It's called Drushim V'Agadois Chassam Sofer. And these are the Chidushim of the Chassam Sofer when he was young. So they say they're the most, like, most creative of all the Chiddush and the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer says, La'asid Lavoi, we're not going to need a Beis HaMikdash to be a Makam Ashras Hashchina. All we'll need a Beis HaMikdash for is to a Makam of Hakravas Karbanos. But as a place of God resting His Shechina, He will rest His Shechina directly on us. By the way, I'm going to tell you something incredible. The Sfarno, Arishain,
Kamat says the same thing. Sfarno says, you ever notice the fact that before the Chet HaEgel, you don't hear a word about the Mishkan? Not only that, before the Chet HaEgel, God does not tell us to eat kosher food. It almost seems like before the Chet HaEgel, you could eat every night Burger King, McDonald's, KFC. Somebody once asked me how I know about that. Everybody knows about that, right? There's no command to eat kosher food. Says the Sfarno, that's right. Before the Chet HaEgel, we were on a madriga, the madriga that we will be on, La'asad Lavai, that we don't need the conduit and the tzavar of a Beis HaMikdash to connect us to God. God will dwell in every yid, as the Pasuk says, V'asad Yimikdash V'shachanti B'soicham, in the yid. But because we sinned on the Egel, and our bodies were now no longer receptacles to the Shekhinah, so Moshe, Hashem said, adios amigos, I don't want to live with you. So Moshe davened, and Hashem said, let's strike a deal. Deal is, I'll live with you, but not on the Yid, through the conduit of the Mishkan. And if they want that, now they have to be careful, and they have to eat only kosher food. But the command to eat kosher was only a reaction to the Chet HaEgel, which is a very interesting idea. That means that had not been for the Chet HaEgel, we would not have to be eating kosher food. As good as it is, we could have saved like 3/4 of the money. Anyway, but that's the way it goes. Says the Chassam Sofer, do you know what the Madrega is of La'asid Lavoi, where Hashem will dwell on us without the need to have the conduit of the Beis HaMikdash? You know what that Madrega is called? Dug. That's the Madrega of Dug. The fish is symbolic of the Madrega of a Jew before the Chet HaEgel, when we didn't need a Mishkan, after La'asid Lavoi, when we won't need a Beis HaMikdash. But Haman made a mistake. Haman thought the fish was symbolic of his relationship with the Samach Mem. He thought the fish was symbolic of the fact that during this month of the year, him and the Samach Mem, they're like that. They're connected without any need for a conduit. What he didn't know is that the month of Adar is sort of a page out of a different book. The month of Adar is like out of a different era. You know what era the month of Adar is? The month of Adar is like a month out of La'asid Lavoi, when we correct all of the Avoinos, and Mashiach comes, and we're on the ultimate Madrega where we don't need a Beis HaMikdash. The reason why Mazal Adar Dogim is because in the month of Adar there is a little semblance of a Madrega, of we don't need a Beis HaMikdash. We're able to be receptacle to the Shekhinah without the Tzavar, without the conduit of the Beis HaMikdash. Haman thought Dog represented his relationship with the Samach Mem. No, it represents our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe. That's one of the reasons why it's written in all the Sfarim, and even the Mishnah Berurah brings down, that one should try to eat Dogim, all 3 Sudos of Shabbos. You should try to have Dogim. Right? It's Tzadikim Ar Makbir to have Dogim by all 3 Sudos. What's the Tam? There are many, many reasons. Maybe this is one of them. The Dog is symbolic of the relationship we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu when the Yom Shekulo Shabbos, Mnucha L'Chayi Olamim, that we don't need a Mishkan, we don't need a Beis HaMikdash. The Mishkan of the Beis HaMikdash is a Tzavar. We will be Mechubar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu without the need for a Tzavar. Interesting. It says, just as an aside, a little Reb Levi Yitzchak Barditchev. So it says that after the Suda, that Esther made a Suda for Haman. So it says, Haman left the Suda Sameach B'toiv Lev, happy and good-hearted. Where else do we have this expression, Vayitav Liboy? It says by Boyaz, Vayitav Liboy, Vayesht Vayitav Liboy. And the Gemara says, what does it mean, his heart was good? Ein Toivela Toira. Like, Vayitav Liboy is a very, very high madrega. How could it say, asked Rav Levi Yitzchak of Barditchev, that Haman was Vayitav Liboy? Like, what did he eat already? Vayitav Liboy is like Madrega of Tzadikim. How did Haman reach this Madrega of Vayitav Liboy? So Rav Levi Yitzchak says, there's a pasuk in Mishlei, Imrav Sainacha Hachilei Olechem. If your enemy is hungry, feed him bread. It sounds like Shlomo is advising, if you have an enemy, invite him to your house. And then he says, you're pouring coals on his head. So I have a psychological pshat on that. And it's worked. If a guy is your enemy, right? Then, and he's bothering you, he's fueled by the fact that he's getting on your nerves. He enjoys the fact that you know that he doesn't like you. So what do you do? If you invite him to your house, you're destroying him. It's almost like you're not going, what, really? You don't like me? I didn't know that. Come over to my house. Let's have a nice meal together. You completely destroy the guy. I could tell you stories. If you ever have a trouble with somebody, invite them to your house. Either they'll be your best friend or you'll never see them again. Or they won't come and you'll never see them again. If you ever have problems with them, just invite them over and your problems. Anyway, but that's the psychological pshat. What's the Kabbalistic pshat? Kabbalistic pshat is like this. Esav is connected to who? What's Esav's source of power? Samach Mem. Right? He's almost one with the Samach Mem. How are we going to kill Haman? We got to pull him away from the Samach Mem. Tzadikim know how. What they're going to do is they're going to make a sudas of Kedusha. By making a sudas of Kedusha, they're going to start drawing them away from their Tuma, but not enough until they're mechuber to their Kedusha. And by doing so, it sort of weakens the Samach Mem's grip on Haman, but not enough to bring Haman over to the Tzad HaKedusha, and that's ultimately what brought about Haman's downfall. You got it, David, right? Good? Fine. Coming, let's close it up. Let's wrap it up.
For the hanging.
Oh, we're about to get there. Good. The hanging, Achla Roisha, it's like this. So what we're saying is, the month of Adar is sort of a page out of a different era. It's a page out of La'asid Lavai. It's a page out of the time that we won't even need a Beis HaMikdash. We won't need the Tzavar. We won't need the conduit. In fact, there's an incredible B'nai Yisrael. We'll say it very quickly. The Arizal writes that every single month of the year corresponds to a different part of the body. What does the month of Adar correspond to? The nose. Why the nose? Interesting. Both the heroes of Purim are connected to scent of smell. Mordechai, Mordorar, Ketoiras. Esther, Hadassim. Right? What do you do with Hadassim, Rabbi Yisrael? What do you do with Hadassim? Put them in your besamim, of course. You put them in smell. In fact, it says that Vayitzaku, Mordechai cried out. What did he say? It says, Mei Saschar, he just made a lot of noise. You know why? Because what do we say? Hakol Yafeh Lebesamim. Noise is good for Besamim. He's the essence of Besamim. Therefore, Vayitzaku, if you make noise, it's good for Besamim. It's very interesting. Look at the Chet of the Yetz Hadas. Every single scent, every single faculty and sense is used. She saw the fruit was good. She tasted the fruit. Yeah? She touched the fruit. They heard. No smell. You know what? You know why? The sense of smell was not used in the Eitz Hadas. Which means the sense of smell retains its pre-sin madrega. The sense of smell always is on the Madrega of La'asid Lavai and Kaidem Achet. It was never impugned through the Eitz Hadas. Says Mei Sascha, that's why. The Gemara asks, how do you know you make a bracha on Besamim? So Mei Sascha says, what do you mean, how do you know? The same way you make a bracha on everything else. The Gemara says, you're not allowed to get hana from anything in this world without a bracha. If you can't eat without a bracha, why do we need a source that you need a bracha to smell? Says Mei Sascha, of course it's strange that you need a bracha on smell. Because the reason you make a bracha, why do you make a bracha on food? To remove the impurities that were put into the food through the cheder of the Yetz Hadas. But smell always retained its pristine form, so therefore you would think you don't have to make a bracha on smell. That's why the only sense that the neshama gets benefit from, the neshama which is pure, I can't eat. Eat food has some type of impurities in it. The only hana that the neshama gets is besamim, because smell retains its pristine form. That's why, says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, how do you know if someone's Mashiach? Says the Gemara, if he could smell out a court case. He said, how do you know that, Mashiach? What's the raya? I could just smell it. If somebody who could smell it out, he's Mashiach. That means he has the pristine sense that was never impugned through the Chet of the Yetz Hadas. Be it as it may, let's think for a moment. That means the month of Adar is a month that Mazal Adar Dogim, it's a month where we can reach a Madrega of the level will be on La'asid Lavai. You know why all the Yamim Tovim will become Batal and the Purim won't? Of course Purim won't become Batal La'asid Lavai. Purim is a day of the La'asid Lavai brought into our calendar. If you want to know what Purim is God went into the future, took out a day of the La'asid Lavai and put it into our calendar today. That's why the only day that will not become Batal La'asid Lavai is Purim. The battle between Mordechai and Haman is Haman says to Mordechai, remember that temple? What's your temple? Your temple is your tzavar, is your neck, is your connection between the Rosh and the Guf. Haman says, Mordechai, I'm going to hang you. That's symbolic of severing the connection, severing the relationship between the Rosh and the Guf, severing the tzavar. That's it, your Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, it will never be rebuilt. That's the symbolism of hanging. And Mordechai says to Haman, nice try, man. You are permanently being severed from the Samach Mem. Not only you as a pig are growing a neck, but you're going to be broken off a little bit. We're going to destroy Amalek as much as humanly possible until the Mois HaMashiach. That's the battle between Haman and Mordechai. But every time we think of that Achashverosh guy, what do we say? Ach l'roshoy, oy vay to my head. What does that mean? We're worried about what's going to be our connection to the Rosh, and namely, that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Marv Raboisai, maybe now we could say an incredible pshat in the Gemara and Tainis Dav Chav Tesamanal. Amar Rav Yehuda, Braid Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei Darav. Kishem, like in the month of Av, we mourn and we're saddened by the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. So too in the month of Adar, we're happy because the month of Adar we say, we don't need the Beis HaMikdash. This is Amazal Adar Dogim. We could connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu without the agent, but we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. No, the 1 month of the year that it doesn't sadden us that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash is the month of Adar. Adar is the month on the Madrega of the nose. The nose is the Madrega of Kodem Achet, the Madrega of La'asid Lavai. And the Madrega of La'asid Lavai is we don't need a Tzavar. We don't need a Mikdash to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mazal Adar Dogim, we're Mechubar to Avinu Shemashamayim without the Beis HaMikdash. May we be Zoicha that through the Simcha of the month of Adar, we should be Zoicha to the Achras Hayomim, V'yaskal Tzegim, Her V'yameinu, Amen.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.